Welcome to the Broadcast Dialogue Podcast, the show all about the media industry in Canada.
Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith. Well, 2017 was quite a year for Canadian media, from the unveiling of the Creative Canada policy to stunning data on how much content Canadians are consuming online to the rise of new streaming media services. This year marked a distinct shift towards the full embrace of new media in Canada. Montreal-based media blogger and journalist Steve Faggy joined Broadcast Dialogue writer and editor Connie Thiessen to talk about the year in review.
Let's just get right into it. It was a pretty big year in Canadian media. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. Where do you want to start? What's on your list, Steve?
There's definitely a lot of stuff. Every year there's a lot of stuff. I remember at the end of 2016, everyone's like, oh, 2016 was such a horrible year. 2017 will be better. And I'm like, what are you talking about? 2017 is no way going to be better. I mean, certainly the thing at the top of people's minds, I think, right now is this whole Harvey Weinstein scandal and all of the scandals that have come out as a result of that, this sort of growing snowball of accusations of powerful men losing their jobs, a lot of them in media, a lot of them in broadcasting, because in some cases, you know, very serious actions, in a lot of cases, serial actions, you know, lots of victims, if we can call them that, who have come forward and said, okay, this is enough, you know, someone has to talk about this. So I think that, especially for those who are affected, is definitely the story of the year for media.
And within Canada, I mean, Quebec has been like the epicenter of this. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that. And why do you think that Quebec media were the first to sort of have this onslaught of allegations come out here in Canada?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think Quebec is much different culturally or anything else from the rest of Canada in this sense. I think, you know, these scandals can happen anywhere. I think Quebec media was a bit more proactive in terms of investigating things like this. When we saw the stories come out about Eric Salvay, for example, who was the face of the V network in Quebec, which definitely has not had a good year as a result of that. The journalist said that this didn't just start with the Weinstein scandal. They've been looking into this for months, if not years. And it's just now that the victims are willing to come forward and be named. You know, I think this kind of thing exists elsewhere, but I think the Canadian media just hasn't, you know, I don't want to say that they haven't been investigating, but nothing big has come out yet. Mind you, there's a lot of people, maybe not huge names, you know, but there have been people who have in English Canada as well been called out for things like this and have lost their jobs as a result.
Right, and I think, you know, Greg Zahn is sort of the biggest name that's been attached to this.
That's probably the biggest name so far that's come out and has resulted in a dismissal, and that's pretty big for Sportsnet. Anyone who follows Sportsnet's baseball coverage definitely knows the name and knows the personality, and it's kind of one of those larger than life guys who's going to be difficult to replace.
I think 2018 is going to be a really interesting year, where this issue is concerned, just because, in some ways, FM radio, particularly rock radio morning shows by definition have been the last bastion of political incorrectness. And now where is that line? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Certainly for the past few years, there's been this growing contingent of people who have sort of eschewed political correctness entirely and have almost backlashed against, you know, social progress and said, you know what, if I want to make a sexist joke, I should be able to make a sexist joke, and, you know, you PC police are going too far. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, one style of radio. Certainly something like rock or sports talk is going to be more male oriented, but I don't think it's necessarily because of that you know they're going to be less progressive. It's really on a personality personal personality level, that you're going to see stuff like that. And people who work for the same station might be diametrically opposed. Sometimes people who work on the same show might be diametrically opposed on an issue like that. And sometimes it makes for good radio. Sometimes it makes for kind of awkward radio.
So what else is on your list, Steve, as far as the top newsmakers in Canadian media?
It's funny. I'm going through the stuff that has happened this year. And, there's a lot of stuff. There's stuff related to community newspapers that have either been sold or shut down. There's job losses or cuts at Bell Media and elsewhere. Nothing like the kind of cuts we've seen over the past 5 years or so when we had these triple-digit job cuts. And if less bad news is good news, I guess that's sort of news there. But I don't know. It's like I feel like there's been maybe a bit less news this year than last year or the year before in terms of media.
I feel in some ways there were a lot of sort of smaller stories, and I mean you alluded to cuts and the Torstar Post Media deal, which was almost a capper in terms of the death knell for old media, both in the tone of the regulator in impressions of what the Creative Canada policy is actually going to look like when we see it, but also really the mass adoption of streaming, which is now supported by data in terms of how Canadians are consuming their content. I mean, the rise of the radio player app. I mean, all of these things, I think, collectively just sort of point toward the death knell for old media is what I'm calling it. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a progression, right? So, Netflix wasn't invented this year. It didn't suddenly, take off in Canada this year. But it is increasing its market share. Now I think we're at something like a quarter, even a third of Canadian households who subscribe to Netflix, which is huge. Newspapers, for example, the Torstar Post Media deal, it was consolidating markets, which we've seen in other places like Quebec and BC before, where you have, a small community that has two different newspapers owned by two different chains, and then they decide, we can't sustain this anymore. So one chain sells to the other, and then, a newspaper gets either merged or shut down. A lot of the markets in Ontario that were affected by the Post Media Torstar deal, that's what happened. They still have one paper. There's a few exceptions, like Barrie, that doesn't have a daily newspaper anymore. But in most cases, it's consolidation of markets. And eventually, we're going to see the smaller markets lose newspapers entirely. And who knows about the major dailies, such as the one I work for, what it's going to look like in 10 years, because the numbers are definitely telling a story there. Advertising revenue is going down. Readership is going down. Subscription revenue is going down. Eventually, you do not have a business model anymore.
Right. And I mean, the province of Quebec, I think, has been, one of the forward-thinking, governments in terms of putting money towards that digital conversion.
It certainly wants to portray itself that way. There was an announcement just recently that they're going to put about $36 million into initiatives to help out. Part of that is just giving newspapers a tax break because they have to pay a tax to offset the cost of recycling their newspapers after they're read. So the government's going to give them a bit of a tax break on that and a bit of money to help with the transition. How that's going to actually play out is a little bit unclear. Same thing on the federal level. What kind of initiatives this fund will pay for? It's not 100% clear. But this kind of thing, to me, it's like putting a bandage on a gaping wound. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. Media have known for 5-10 years that their business model was collapsing and that they need to make that transition. I don't think a little bit of cash to, start a pilot project is going to make that much of a difference.
I had a couple on my list that we haven't touched on. One was you can now say the F word on French radio. I never thought that would happen. You being in Montreal, I mean, tell me what the response was to that one.
It was kind of funny. I think it made more of a splash in English Canada than in Quebec. What was interesting is this is the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council deciding that a French language radio station that played a clip, someone speaking in English and using the F word, was not as outrageous, not as offensive as if an English radio station had done the same thing. It's a decision I'm kind of scratching my head about, but certainly the you know, norms have changed. There was another decision, actually it was the CBC ombudsman who's saying, when commenting about a journalist using the word goddamn, and saying that, you know what, our language has changed. What we find offensive is not the same as what we found offensive maybe 10, 20 years ago. So certainly sensibilities have changed in the past few years. But yeah, we've seen the several decisions out of the CBSC that have been interesting, to say the least.
Right. Another one I had on my list was net neutrality, with sort of developments in the U.S. kind of moving away from the idea that all content should be treated equally. I sort of feel that that's going to be one of the big stories of 2018. Do you have any other predictions?
Yeah, well, that's going to be a big one. The U.S. is definitely going to take the lead on that. They seem to be moving in that direction. Canada has been very strongly for net neutrality. In fact, the Heritage Minister Melanie Joly just 2 days ago, giving a speech in which he sort of reemphasized that we're not going to allow internet companies to decide what kind of traffic gets preferential treatment. But you know, when most of your internet traffic goes through the United States, there's just so much you can control. As for predictions for next year, I mean, a lot of it kind of more of the same. You know, it's kind of a safe bet to take. Is newspapers, the situation for newspapers is going to get more precarious. Television is going to have to continue to deal with, in some cases, very thin profit margins. We may see more, low-rated television channels and networks bite the dust, and maybe a few more emerge. You just look at those trend lines in terms of where the money is, where the money is going, and you have to think that they're just going to continue, and we're going to see more next year of what we saw this year.
Thanks so much for joining me, Steve.
You're very welcome.
That was Montreal-based blogger and journalist Steve Faggy in conversation with Broadcast Dialogue writer and editor Connie Thiessen. 2017 marked the loss of some notable contributors to Canadian film and broadcasting. To name a few, Betty Kennedy of Front Page Challenge, Monty Hall of Let's Make a Deal fame, actor John Dunsworth, TSN curling commentator Ray Turnbull, radio consultant Arnie Selsey, former Rogers radio executive Gary Miles, CBC Montreal host Pierre Pasco, former CKNW Vancouver sports broadcaster Neil McRae, talk show host Rafe Mayer, the Reverend Tom Harper, and the Vinyl Cafe's Stuart McLean, just to name a few. Now, as always, we'll recognize all those we lost this year in our first edition of the Weekly Briefing in the new year. This is Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.